Someone touched these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rains come tumbling.
Hi, that was the Garden Song by David Mallett, and I'd like to welcome you to the Lopez Gardener Spot, a half-hour organic show that will air live on the first Wednesday of each month, and then be broadcast as a repeat each subsequent Wednesday in the same month. I'm Jeannie Flynn, and my co-host for the show is
Ann Wurlich Hart.
Each month on the show, we'll have a topic for discussion that relates to what we're doing in our gardens, and it's a guest gardener or farmer. This month's guest is Diane Deere from T&D Farms. Welcome, Diane.
Hi, I'm delighted to be here today. For those of you who don't know me, my husband Todd and I own T&D Farms here on Lopez, where we grow organic vegetables and plant starts. I'm especially excited to be here today because this is the time of year where all things seem possible, and it'll be great to share some of those ideas that we're also excited about with you.
The format for our show will begin with a gardening event calendar. Then we'll follow up with a time for with a time for our topic of the month, and then around a quarter after the hour, we'll open up the phone lines for comments or questions from listeners. Our topic for the month of February is seeds, starts, and soils. We're going to be talking more specifically on the types of seeds we're starting, the conditions we're creating for our starts, and the soils they're being started in.
And this is Diane again with just a brief disclaimer before we continue with the show. And that's to let you know that all views and opinions that we express today are ours alone, those of Anne and Jeannie and myself, and they're not those of KLOI or GIVE. So take that with a grain of salt, if you will.
This is Anne Wurlich Karp, and I'm going to tell you quickly about some gardening events that are happening locally during the month of February. These events have also been posted on Lopez Rocks for the month of February for your future reference. If you sent in your order for the 2011 native plant sale sponsored by the Master Gardeners in San Juan Conservation District, you can pick those plants up on Saturday, February 26th from 9 o'clock to noon at Sunset Builders. On Thursday, February 10th, the next meeting of the Lopez Garden Club will be held at Woodman Hall starting at 9:30. The guest speaker is local gardener Debbie Hatch, and she will be talking about year-round gardening. New members and guests are welcome. February 16th on Orcas Island in the Madrona Room at the Orcas Center starting at 10 o'clock, the Orcas Island Garden Club is sponsoring the presentation, Why Native Plants? Michael Budnick, a leader in the local native plant movement since 1985, will lead a lively discussion about our island native plants and their use in landscape design. WSU Extension is now accepting applications this month for the Master Gardeners Training Program. Training will take place in Friday Harbor from March 16th through April 27th on Wednesdays and will include in-class training and some online training. Chris Bias, or you can call Chris Bias at 370-7663 to register. The Anacortes Public Library is hosting three workshops called Eat Your Yard Veggie U 2011. All sessions are located at the Anacortes Public Library, open to the public, free, and begin at 6:45 until 8:15 p.m. Session 1 is called The Perfect Spot, Choosing Your Garden Space, and it's being held on Thursday, February 10th. Session 2, A Question of Taste, Choosing What to Grow, will be held on Thursday, February 17th. Session 3, To Seed or Not to Seed, Getting Started, will be held on Thursday, February 24th. On Tuesday, February 15th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Mount Vernon Co-op, there will be a workshop titled From the Sublime to the Divine. This workshop will look at biodynamics and holistic farming from Switzerland to farms in Western Washington. You can pre-register at the co-op. The 28th Annual Western Potato Workshop is being held on Saturday, February 19th from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Mount Vernon Research and Extension Center. A little further away in Everson, Cloud Mountain Farm has four February workshops. I've taken the first one here and really got great information from it. That one is growing apples and pears on February 5th and February 2nd from 10:30 a.m. to noon. The second is growing stone fruits, cherries, peaches, and plums on February 12th from 1:30 to 3 o'clock p.m. The third workshop is growing fruit using the espalier technique on February 26th from 10:30 to noon. And the last is designing and planting an edible landscape on February 19th from 10:30 to noon. You can call 360-966-5859 to register. Northwest Washington Farm to Table Trade Meeting is being held on Tuesday, February 22nd. Anyone who has a stake in Northwest Washington food economy is welcome to attend from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. at St. Joseph's Peace Hospital Conference Center in Bellingham. You can go to sustainableconnections.org and click on events to get more information. On Monday, February 8th, there will be the Washington Blueberry Growers Conference from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And for more information, you can call 360-848-6120. So that's what we have for gardening events for the upcoming month of February. If you have an event you want us to add for the week or for the month of calendar of March, you can reach me at anne@kloi.org. Now we can get back to our topic for this month of seeds, starts, and soil. Okay, Jean.
Diane, I was wondering where you get your seeds, and do you grow your own starts or do you buy them?
Okay, well, let's start with the seeds. We're really blessed here on Lopez to have a variety of seed sources, due in part, of course, to the internet and mail order catalogs, but we also have some local sources of seeds here. And I think one of the most important things to do before you actually start talking about where you want to get your seeds from or where I get my seeds from is to think about the choices you're making with your garden or your farm, because there's so many of them, and that will really help you to determine where you want to get seeds. And chances are you'll not just want to choose one place because different companies have different offerings that I'll talk about in a minute. But kind of a checklist I would go through is, first of all, do you really want organic seeds, certified organic seeds, or is that perhaps not so important to you? And even if you really want certified organic seeds, you need to keep in mind that many varieties are not available in certified organic seeds. So you may have to go with a conventional type seed. And even when you're looking at conventional seeds, you may need to make decisions about whether you want treated seeds or untreated seeds and do some investigation into what those treatments are and how comfortable you are with the process and the materials that are used to treat the seeds. So that's the first question, really. The basic one, I think, is whether you want organic or not. Another question is whether you're looking at heirloom seeds or hybrid seeds. And again, you may find that you want to use some of both. I think when the three of us talked about that the other day, we all like to try some new heirlooms, and some of us like to have some standard heirlooms that we go back to again and again, but we also know that there's some hybrids that do well, and if we're not really worried about saving seed, we may want to plant some of those hybrids because we know they're a reliable crop and we've used them before and had a good piece of produce from those seeds. The other things to look at are perhaps politics, who owns the seed company. I think that's a real personal decision, but it is something that's very important to some people, whether it's a family independent-run company or whether it's part of a bigger corporation that may be based elsewhere and have some objectives that you do not want to support. All of that information is available on the internet. Of course, don't believe everything you read on the internet. You can find some pieces of information that suggest companies are owned by corporations when in fact they're not. So do some due diligence there if that's an important issue to you. And then finally, of course, one of the real important issues is it local? Is it going to do well here? And we are fortunate to have some local seed companies here. One called Locally Grown is here on Lopez. There's another called Uprising Seeds out of Bellingham. And there's another seed company that's starting to do a little bit more business here called Osborne Seed Company out of Mount Vernon. Now, That said, you may not find all the varieties that you want and in those seed companies. So I, for instance, tend to get quite a few seeds from High Mowing Seeds, which is, unfortunately, across the country in Vermont. And they're not a maritime climate, but they are roughly at our same latitude, and I've had real good success. For my personal use, I start there, and then I go through some other seed companies. And there's also some varieties that I know that I've really tried to just get locally because they've done well, and I know that they have them. So I go to those companies first. So, long answer to a short question.
I was curious as to where you got them. I get mine sometimes at Territorial. Lately, I've been just using my old seed, trying to use it up. They don't all sprout, but I'm using them anyway. And
well, when you look at your seed packets, you may, and also in the catalogs, you it sometimes can be a little bit confusing because there's a lot of abbreviation numbers being put onto the packets. And so I'm just going to briefly give you some information about what some of those stand for. And one of the first ones is F1 hybrid. And this means that the seeds are the first generation that come from plants from two specific parent plants, and they can only be produced by crossing with the exact same parent plants. And these plants, if they produce seeds, they will be genetically unstable. So if you're planning on saving the seeds, this wouldn't be a possibility for the, and you won't get it exactly the same plant that you got from the original seeds you bought. And hybrid, I think I said F1 hybrid, didn't I? Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then another initial is PVP, and this stands for Plant Variety Protection. And this means that that particular seed is patented. And so legally, you are not supposed to collect seeds from those plants. Another abbreviation is OP, and this means open pollinated, and maybe we can have a little discussion about that, but it means that the plants breed and produce seed by natural processes, and it is a sign of quality and vigor of the seed to grow well unaided. Another thing that you'll see in the catalogs or on the packets is if the seed is organic, it should say certified organic, and this means that the parent plants were organically grown. So do you want anything else you want to add to that?
This is Diane again. I was just going to add that increasingly, and I know there's some interest on this here on Lopez, is you also see a pretty good offering of biodynamic seeds.
Right.
And there's some companies that just offer those. So again, as you're receive, whether you're sitting in front of your computer or leafing through the catalogs and trying to figure out where do I start, one of the places is to decide, do I want to try some biodynamic seeds? Is that really important to me? And as Anne said, really don't just look for an ad sort of statement that says, oh, we have great seeds. Really look for those specific certified organic, biodynamic, heirloom, F1, some of those, familiarize yourself with what those all mean so you know what you're getting and you're not, for instance, as you said, trying to save seeds from seeds that won't produce for you.
Do you ever buy starts?
We do not buy starts. We actually start everything ourselves and have made those available here in the community, as well as that's what we use on our farm. So now's about the time. All those lovely little plants are beginning under the grow lights and on the heat mats.
Yeah, and Diane and Todd from their farm offer some starts available at Sunset Builders too. I know every once in a while I'll get, especially Savoy cabbage, I love the starts, and I only want a few of those in my garden, so I buy them from T&D Farm.
Yeah, thanks for that plug, no pun intended. Little seed plugs, we're going to talk about that in a minute, the little soil plugs. But Anne's mention about if you only want a few things reminded me of something else about the seeds that we've talked about, is different seed companies have somewhat different audiences or a customer base. And so you might find, for instance, Anne mentioned a little earlier to me that Osborne Seed Company that I use in Mount Vernon has some larger quantities, and you may not be able to use all that seed in your garden or want all that seed. And, you know, certainly you can have seeds that you order one year that will be good for 3 to 5 years, depending on how you keep the seed. But another option, of course, is to go in with your friends and neighbors and come up with a list. And that not only allows you maybe other sources of seeds, but is more economical, and you may be able to get some better pricing on that. So
I'd like to talk a little bit about the soil that the seeds go in. And usually people need to plant them, not usually, but always, in a sterile soil. You can sterilize your own soil by baking it at 180 degrees for 30 minutes. But I warn you, don't do it in the house. Do it in a barbecue, over a or something else. Do it outside. It smells terrible. Since, let's see, one medium to use is 1/3 to 1/2 moss of your choice, either sphagnum or peat, and the rest of it, the mix being perlite, vermiculite, or a combination of the two. Vermiculite holds water and contains magnesium and potassium, which are good for root growth, and perlite is volcanic and holds water on its surface, so a mix of the two is best. A word about the vermiculite. It is mined with asbestos, so always use it in an open area. Don't ever use it in a garage. Another soilless mix is one part each of sphagnum moss or coconut hulls, perlite or vermiculite, or a mix of both, and sand or pumice grit. And the last one, a Vancouver Island writer, Carolyn Harriet, uses one part peat, one part each vermiculite and perlite, and 1 cup dolomitic lime to counteract the acidity of the peat. And I would like to tell you that most seeds would love to have a grow mat. They like 65 to 72 degrees soil, and they will sprout quicker and be stronger, healthier seeds.
So on those grow mats, what do you use for a grow mat?
I have cables. Mm-hmm. I have cables in a sandbox, and I plug that in, and it has a temperature gauge that turns the cable on and off. I've also started seeds with a heating pad, and I will put them directly on the heating pad and turn it to low and leave it. And
so you put your flats on top of the
seed bag.
And you mentioned yesterday that you usually put the heating pad like
wrap
a plastic bag.
Yeah,
I put
a plastic bag over it so it doesn't get dirty.
Yeah. And there are commercial heating mats available. Yes. And Diane, you had some information about that.
Yes, we use the commercial heating pads, and there's different sizes available. I'll tell you, we've looked all over trying to find the place where they're dirt cheap, and that's really not the case. So you may want to explore, especially for a home use, the just plain old household heating pad or the cables in sand. But if you are looking for something a bit more sophisticated that tells you exactly what temperature it is and is sturdy enough to get dirty and watered and et cetera, wherever you have the seeds growing, they're available at Territorial. They're available through Johnny's and Charlie's Greenhouse in Mount Vernon. To my knowledge, Stuber's, we'll talk about in a minute, which is kind of a big nursery for the cell packs and the other plastic things that we use a lot of, and even the grow lights. They do not have the heating mats that I know of, but there is another place online called ACF Greenhouses that has them at a reasonable price as well.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt just for a minute here and open our phone lines. If there's a listener out there that has a comment or a question, you can call 468-3656, and we'll keep on talking about seeds and starts and soil in the meantime. And if we get a call, we'll take that online. I wanted to go back to seeds for just a minute. My focus this year has been really trying to find a lot of the heirloom seeds. And when I initially moved to Washington about 35 years ago, we lived next door to an elderly woman in her 70s, and she had still been gardening after all these years. She was a 16-year-old bride to Whatcom County, and she told me of a number of heirlooms. Well, at that point, you know, I wasn't thinking in my mind heirloom, but a number of standard seeds that she loved to grow. And a lot of these now are turning up on the heirloom seed in the catalogs. And some of those are Snowball, Cauliflower, Blue Lake Beans, Market Moor Cucumbers, Black Beauty, Zucchini, Nanti's Carrots, and Ebony Acorn Squash. And so these are some of the seeds that I'm going to try to be growing plants from this year, and then saving those seeds for the next year. And I found a great seed site online called a Sustainable Seed Company, and they're out of California, and I was if I get my note here on them. They have some wonderful information about, anecdotal information about the heirloom plants. And one that I really enjoyed reading about, which is a little bit tragic in one sense, was a bit about Stoll's evergreen sweet corn. And originally, you know, we have some of this controversy going on today, but controversy about seeds and companies goes on from 1800s, and this particular situation happened in 1848 when Stoll of Burlington, New Jersey, developed this Stoll's evergreen sweet corn, and he sold to his neighbor 2 ears of corn for $4, and under the agreement that he would use it for his own use. And the neighbor turned around the next year and sold to a seed company his seed for $20,000, which in today's money market would be a significant amount of money. So very interesting information on the website.
One other thing about planting seeds. When you plant the seeds, plant them no more than 3 times the thickness of the seed. This is particularly for small seed, for very small seed, broccoli, well, not broccoli, but like poppies. If you're going to plant poppies, just sprinkle them on the soil, press them down, and sprinkle a little more soil on the top of them. And gently water them in with a spray. And so that was my 2 cents.
So where do you get, what's your source, Jeannie, for your vermiculite and your sphagnum moss?
We get it from Stubers in Snohomish, and they're a landscape company and sell also to other people. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten...
Can anybody go in, or you have to be...
You're supposed to have some business and give them a business number, but I think they do sell retail too, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure. But I've gotten seaweed fertilizer there, bags of it, like 80-pound sacks, and I've gotten... They sell organic amendments as well as non-organic, so I get the organic ones, and they're big bags of perlite or vermiculite, mm-hmm. and organic potting soil and organic compost, mm-hmm. and they're big sacks, and so they last me for a couple of seasons, and it's pretty neat.
Listening to Jeannie describe that, I was going to offer that I know just when the three of us were talking yesterday in preparation for this, it's always amazing to me. There's so much out there in the world of gardening to know and to learn. And I know people that have been doing this for 20, 30 years still say, you know, one of the best and one of the most challenging things is you learn something new every year. And that's right. If the weather's the same. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I've found is that some of this, you'll read a lot of books and they'll tell you exactly the seed soil mix or exactly how to plant the seeds, and you just have to do it and try to figure out. And listening to these mixture recipes for the ways to get the seeds started, I think it could be a little intimidating when someone's brand new to this. Mm-hmm. Like, well, where do I get these things I've never even heard of? And mm-hmm. Jeannie's right there. Once you start getting into it, you'll find the sources. But I'll tell you that just for saving time, one of the things we do at our farm, because we're starting so many starts, is we have a recipe that's a mixture of certified organic topsoil and certified organic potting soil and some organic approved fertilizer, 934 it's called, and those mixtures contain some of the very same things that Jeannie talked about. They're a mixture of compost and moss and perlite and vermiculite, and we find that those work just fine for us. So, you know, you can don't wait till you have it all figured out to try it, because you won't figure it out till you start trying some of these mixtures. And even the books by the experts, as we've noted, they all have a different opinion of what works for them and what they use.
And some of these recipes are written out. I know the book Zero Mile Diet, mm-hmm. by
Carolyn Harry.
Carolyn Harry. She has pages of recipes for starting soil. And we were talking yesterday about at some point adding in your own soil that these plants are going to be putting in, possibly when you're doing transplants, to make sure that the plants are then being exposed to, before they're actually put out in the garden, but being exposed to the elements that are in the soil that they're going to be dealing with, you know, like a little child, you know, exposing them to certain things that they grow healthier in that respect.
Yes. Having that, you know, your own garden soil, it's your own soil and your own microclimate, and it's really important to do that, because I've gotten started plants from friends, and they don't do so well in my soil sometimes. They just don't grow, and they're weak, and I end up yanking them out because of their, we have different areas on the island that we grow things in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, one of the things we've talked about, and I think you guys will probably be following up on this in March and April as the ground gets warmer, and that's moving these, you know, starts out to your actual ground, whether it be raised beds or hoop houses or whatnot, and that is looking at what's that soil going to be like, and trying to think as you start the seedlings now this time of year, well, where do I keep them over the course of the next couple of months, and when's the right time to move them out, and what do I do if they start to outgrow the little cell pack, I call them, they come in trays of 50. What do I do when those start to get too big, and when is too big? How do I know when to make changes?
When the plant sprouts and it gets its second leaf, that's the time. And if pull it out of its little pack, if it's in those little cell packs, and see if the roots have come to the outside of the soil. And if they have, put them in a 4-inch pot with your native soil, and mix your native soil with your gardening soil, or, you know, your whatever, your soil mix, and let them grow in that. And then when the ground is supposed to be 54 degrees in August, according to Ed Hume, and they really like so many plants, like our tomatoes, our peppers, our squashes, like warmer soil. So the cold plants, broccolis, cauliflowers, kale, they can go into the cooler soil. So you can just take those and stick them in the ground.
In February, onions. Is there really anything that you'd want to be putting in your garden, direct seed?
I can't really think of
it. I've always been told peas, but I never put them in February.
Yeah, I have always been told peas as well, and I have. It's funny because I won't say the same people that tell me that, but sort of that same rural myth, let's call it, yeah. Plant peas on February. I think it's President's Day in February. I hear the same number of people say, "Yeah, it's funny. I always do that, and they just rot in the ground." So we actually start peas in cell packs, just because I like to have, and then when it gets. So anyway, that's what we do in early to, like, I'll be doing some probably next week, to tell you the truth, is starting some pea plants in the cell packs, so that if it is fair, you know, we don't have a foot of snow on the ground come late February, I can plant some of those, and if it doesn't have a hard freeze, or at least if they're even low enough and I have them in the ground, I can cover them with remay or keep them warm if it does freeze, and so that way I have them started, but they're not just sitting in the ground being direct seeded and rotting away because it's so wet. So that's the only thing I would think of, but as you said, even that, other than that, I'm starting everything inside, and I just wanted to follow up because we were talking about Jeannie mentioned temperatures of the soil outside, and we'd earlier also been talking about the heat mats and getting those little seedlings started. It's true, most of the seeds, it's all within that pretty much 10 temperature span, 60 to 70, but things like peppers and tomatoes can stand it and actually like it a little bit warmer. And so that's one of the things those heat mats are good for, is I'll start my peppers and eggplants and tomatoes at about 75 to 80 even, while I use my other space for things that don't need it that hot. Sometimes even just the grow light without a heat mat's enough for things like spinach and kale that does fine with cooler temperatures.
Okay, we're just about to wrap up our show for today. Yes. Jeannie and Diane, do you have any other comments you'd like to make? Or? Well, it's time to close the show, and we thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed listening. We're looking forward each month to bringing relevant garden information to you and providing knowledgeable guests on the topics of discussion. And we thank Diane Deere from T&D Farms so much for being here today and all the wonderful comments that she's added to the show. If you'd like to hear about a specific, a specific topic or recommend a particular garden guest, a gardener guest, you can send an email to ann@kloi.org. And thanks for listening. We'll be back with a new show on Wednesday, March 2nd at noon. And I also want to give a big thank you to Ron Metcalf that's been our engineer today in helping us get the show on the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
By inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. And inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sowed. Someone warmed them from below till the rains come tumbling down. Pulling weeds, picking stones, man is made of dreams and bones. Feel the need to grow my own, cause the time is close at hand. And grain for grain, the sun and rain, find my way in nature's chain. And tune my body and my brain to the music from the land. By inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. And inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sowed. Someone warmed them from below till the rains come tumbling. Plant your rows straight and long, and temper them with prayer and song. And Mother Earth will make you strong if you give her love and care. An old crow watching hungrily from his perch in yonder tree. And in my garden I'm as free as that feathered thief up there. Up there. And inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. And inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sowed. Someone